Hello and welcome back to this module of the Security in the Enterprise course on Microsoft Virtual Academy. In this section, myself and Erdal, we're going to be taking a look at the top mitigation methods to protect your enterprise. So what specifically are we going to be diving into? A bunch of the tools that are out there?
No, I think we talked about the tools. It's time about to talk about, hey, what can you do? The recommendations, basically. Tools, we talked about enough tools.
Yep. Okay.
I can still say some other tools I'm going to mention it, but it's a bit of recommendations, which is, for me, mitigations.
Yep.
Okay, ready to start?
Yep, let's go for it. So number one, if possible, use Windows Server 2012 RT.
Why?
Presumably because it's the latest OS that's available publicly as a server.
And believe it or not, I still don't know any big hack against 2012 R2. Same 2012, same 2008 R2. Safe. And of course, has all the options that we talked, BitLocker, firewall, security configuration with it.
Yeah.
This and that. We talked all about it. I don't want to repeat it again.
Yeah.
But, and the other good thing is Server 2012 R2 comes as core, as default. And the good thing is, like with 2008 R2, we had some issues. Core, you had to know coding, and for most of the, not really coding, like command lines, for most of the IT pros, this was a pain. Where 2012 R2 or 2012 server is giving the option where you can install the GUI on the fly, and as soon as you close it, it's gone on the fly. So it's not just secure, it's also easy to manage.
Yeah, and not having all those binaries there makes it even more secure because there's less to patch.
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely yes.
Okay.
AppLocker.
Number two, yep.
We know AppLocker was replacing the software restriction policies feature in Windows XP. And we did talk about this as well, but I wanted to highlight again. All what you have to do is go to the computer configuration, security settings, AppLocker under application control policies, and you can just click configure rule enforcement, select the application that you want to use, allow or deny. That's it. No third option. Highly recommended. You should, if you're using Windows Server, which supports AppLocker, you should definitely enable it.
Yeah, definitely something you want to be doing on servers that have a very, very limited use. Really a great idea if you can kind of identify a lot of the enterprise applications that you want to be used as well.
Which will reduce your administrative overhead, and it will give you lots of control over EXEs, DLLs, MSI, MSPs, and all this.
Yeah. Okay, number three is use biometrics.
Okay, biometrics, as I said, after 2008 R2, you started to have lots of options where you can integrate biometrics to UAC.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of entering the password all the time, you could just use your fingerprint. Or you can just have enterprise-grade biometric devices straight embedded to the group policy and managed from the group policy.
Yeah.
And the other good thing is we just talked about Windows 10, the upcoming feature.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about it. What was that? Windows Hello.
Yep, Windows Hello. Yep.
It's biometrics, right? You can put a photo against it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work against the photo because it looks for the live aspects.
Yeah, and it's actually using 3D infrared to actually understand the contours of your face. So pretty cool stuff. Very important. Lots of folks out there forget that actually when you use biometrics, we're not actually storing your fingerprint. We're storing information which has been generated from the fingerprint and therefore which is unique, so it's non-reversible. Somebody couldn't get your biometrics and then take a copy of your fingerprint. That would actually be a really bad idea.
Oh, who's... Are there bad people like this around?
Yeah, apparently so. There's some folks out there that would do that kind of thing. So,
not me.
Yeah. Number four, use smart cards.
Again, since 2008 R2, it's much easier to use smart cards. And hey, what is the new version we talked about this morning? We're coming to Windows 10 again?
Microsoft Passport.
Microsoft Passport. Which is now virtualizing that. But again, this is, and the server will be next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're talking about server environment, we can still use anything after 2008 R2 to use smart cards, which will make our life easier to use and deploy.
Yep. Number five, strong passwords.
I think I mentioned this many, many times. Passwords are a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw in my previous demo how easily I can steal your password.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even need your password. So please use some tools. You want the tools? Here we go. Kane Enable, still free, one of the oldest tools and still works. Please make sure you have some complex password. But again,
not too much.
Not too much, and because too much will, what's going to happen under the keyboard?
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
The password's there.
Password is there. No, no, just joking.
Yeah, that's what people do. Yeah, if anything's too hard to remember, then they don't do it. So you have to have some sensibility rules in place to prevent people from going too far.
Train users to avoid simple English words. Use some easy methods with hard, you know, let's say blue. Instead of B, use 8. Instead of L, use number 1. Mm-hmm. But again, blue is too short. Have minimum, 10 characters, but preferably 14.
Yeah. Select words that don't fit together normally in an English sentence.
Yeah. How long is your password? Service accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is not new.
Yeah.
SPN accounts, what are the benefits, Simon?
Well, nobody needs to know the passwords, particularly with Server 2012 R2. We have no need for anybody to know a password for a service account. That all just gets dealt with by Kerberos and by the domain controllers. So nobody ever knows the passwords for a service account.
And the good thing is, even if your service account gets hacked, it will not affect the domain controller because there is an isolation between a service account and the domain account. UAC, we did talk about it again. I think UAC, everybody knows what it is. It is not a security boundary, but it is there to help you to mitigate the impact of malicious programs.
Yeah, it's an awareness boundary. It makes you think, when you click on an executable, was I expecting it to elevate privileges? And yes, most people will just click yes, unless you've made them aware that it's a bad idea. And turning it off for an admin account is probably the worst thing you could possibly do. It really should be the thing that's there to say for admins, hey, this is something that you might want to think about doing.
Something that you actually should stick into it as well.
Yeah. Security auditing inside of Windows.
All right, what is this doing? It is basically increasing the level of detail in the security when it comes to your auditing your logs. And the good thing is it will simplify the deployment and management of your audit policies. Basically, you can just, as the name says, remember the secondhand car example which we talked? It is a way, or while you're driving, the indicators tell you how much fuel you got left
in your
tank. Yeah. Right? It tells you, hey, your engine is too warm. So keeping an eye on your service and having a security audit compared in the baseline, it's always a smart idea. SCW, what is that, Simon?
Do you know, I've never come across this tool.
Really?
Yeah, honestly,
security configuration wizard. Just go to any server after 2008, type SCW. It is a guideline which will basically pass you through the process of creating, editing, applying, or rolling back a security policy. It has lots of benefits, such as disabling unnecessary services, detecting roles of dependencies, and it gives you some hot links to fix the issue. But you have to be very, very careful with that. If you're running this, for example, in an Exchange box, and you don't use the right template, it will probably recommend you to block port 25.
That would be quite bad for your Exchange server.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, please use the right template. And it's free inbuilt in your Windows. If you want to use it, you can also download it to your Windows as well. I can show you in a demo very quickly when I go to my demo machines. I don't want to swap over now.
Okay. So the next one is Windows Firewall. I'm not quite sure why anybody would ever want to turn off the firewall, but we also have the advanced security in there so that IT professionals can really use the firewall, change the rules if they need to. But it's not for home users. It's something that most people should just have and have configured in the background.
Yeah, many people think it is, but actually it's not. So next, Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? It is a good mitigation method, a free Windows-based security tool that adds supplement security and it helps you to create a defense policy. And you know what? I can just, Simon, if you want to, I can just run a demo quickly.
Okay.
Where is my demo machine?
Okay, so our next one, after Emmett.
Hold on. I'm just trying to connect to my demo environment. All right, So this is my demo environment. As you can see, I have a cool PDF reader, which is vulnerable. So I could just use this in my previous example as well. So I'm gonna open a Word document. And this Word document is basically talking, hey, National Cyber Awareness System, Vulnerability Summary. So it's Word 2010, and to be honest, there's a vulnerability which I used. Now, I don't know if you noticed, as soon as I clicked into the Word, it ran a script at the background, and guess what? Hacker attack. You're hacked. Mm. Not too many people are going to display photos there. What they're going to do is they're going to put you in trouble with this. So I'm opening this again. So as you can notice, nothing is there to stop you. Now I'm gonna go to EMET, free for Microsoft. Double click on it. It should load up shortly. And as you can see, it's there to run a DEP, Data Execution Prevention, CHOP, ASLR, Certificate Trust. So I'm just gonna scroll down. And you can see WinWord, it's under protection. I'm going to configure a process to keep an eye on it. So you have to go and manually say, hey, can you please tell me if there is anything happening in Windows? What are the mitigations? So basically, you can just select what kinds of mitigation you want. You can right-click, enable all of them. And I'm just zooming in here. You can see all these mitigation methods, okay? And now, remember my, let me click, okay. And from there, I just go to my Word. Now, let's close it down first. Now, go to Word again, remember? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Let's refresh it first. Now, now Word is under protection of EMET. Go back to my vulnerable web application, Word application. Let me close it because it's open. README, remember, it was running a script at the background. Boom. Hey, it caused an error. If I click, doesn't matter. Look at the bottom right. Yeah. EMET detected mandatory SLR mitigation and will close the application right now. Let me try to zoom in. Here we go. I have some small issues, but I think you can see the message, right?
Yeah.
Let me zoom in there. Yeah, but doesn't matter. I think you can see it and you get the message here. So what did EMET do?
It looked for a vulnerability that we saw inside of the program, and it put something in place to stop that from actually being executed.
So, pretty cool. Free mitigation. It's not a hacker tool to protect you, but it's a mitigation method. And how much does it cost?
Totally free.
Yeah. Free.
So number 12, takes us on to disabling insecure user accounts. One of the things that you really need to be thinking about here is actually taking away some of the accounts that are created by default. Administrator, guest, those things want to be disabled. You're also going to want to rename the default admin account. That's kind of a pretty sensible thing to do. Renaming it to admin is probably not the best plan in the world either. Bring it across to something completely different. Number 13?
We did talk about it, BitLocker.
Yeah.
What was BitLocker doing? I think I don't want to repeat it again and again and again. It's basically encryption to your Windows.
Yeah.
When I say Windows operating system volume, or to your USB. Okay, be honest. How many times did you lose USB stick? Very honestly.
All the time. Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. I hope you did encrypt them.
Some of the time.
I remember I was flying in 2008 to TechEd. Barcelona, a speaker flying from Australia. I was in London, okay, in the airport, get the newspaper, and I don't know if you remember, one of the, there was a USB stick.
Yeah, with loads of customer data on it.
With around 32,000 customer data on it with all that secret data, and it hit the news.
Yeah.
Back then, if Microsoft invented BitLocker, that gentleman could be secure.
Yeah.
Or, let's be honest, there was EFS. If he just used back then encrypted file system, he could be also secure. So basic free tools for you to
use to protect your information. Number 14 is Microsoft's Baseline Security Analyzer, or MBSA.
You've done the demo?
Yeah, great tool for being able to look at your environment and understand what's configured, what's not, what you could actually go away and turn on.
Then patching applications. We did talk in very details about that. So we said, yes, WSAS is good, but what about the others? I showed you PSI. I said, if you want to use from Secunia, use CSI. You can use, if not, you can go to Rapid7 or Nessus. So many tools. Please take patching serious and make sure you're up to date. So this is not the same with your car. You know, sometimes you receive a letter from a manufacturer saying, hey, we found an issue in the brakes.
Yeah.
It's always the news. 4 million cars have been called back.
Yeah.
Why do you go straight away? It's your brakes, you know, it's your life. And back to our very first presentation that we had. What is important for you? Your career, your life. It comes back to the same point.
Yeah. You've got to have it secure. The next one is, after patching, is restricting admin privileges. You want the least possible privileges on the most accounts that you possibly can. So have them with the least possible access to resources.
Let's be very honest. How many years are you now in IT?
How many users are in IT?
Oh. And how many years are you in IT now?
15.
15?
Yeah.
For how many years you hit this? Least privileges. Very honest.
Yeah, so most of the organizations I've worked in have been pretty good on this. They give me a couple of accounts to log on with, but it's not the best thing.
Probably for the last 15 years, you're hearing the same story. Yeah. Hey, we are year 2015. We're still saying that. Please have a look in the slide and you will see why. 92% of all critical vulnerabilities reported by Microsoft could be mitigated via restricting admin privileges. 96% of critical vulnerabilities affecting Windows could be mitigated. Mm-hmm. 100% of all vulnerabilities affected in IE could be protected. And in Office as well. By the way, I'm not saying that. It is based on a security report, which you can see the source there as well. All right, let's do another demo here. Simon, do you have any recommendation while I prep the domain environment here?
Well, let's talk about the about number 16, which is creating a defense in depth system. When you're starting to think about this, the layered protection mechanism is possibly the single best thing you can possibly do. You want to make sure that things like your physical security and your perimeter are protected. But very first up, you want to make sure that everybody knows what the policies and procedures are in order to be able to access data and access the hardware, access to the network and all of the other sections. You also want to make sure that you're thinking about your perimeter and your internal networks a little bit differently. Then you're thinking about what protections do we need in place around the host, the application and the data. And if you've got all of those layers intact and they're in a good place, then it's going to give you a lot more different options that you can tweak in order to tighten up security as and when you need to be able to do it.
So defense in depth is really important. Back to demo.
Yeah.
In this demo, here's the scenario. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run two applications, one in low integrity level, one in high integrity level.
Yep.
Okay. And you're going to see the scenario. Okay. And I'm just logging to my Next Expert PC, to my friend's Raymond's computer. And I'm just going to my tool. Let's open Word. And here's my favorite tool, Sysinternals. As you notice, this runs in a medium integrity.
Yep.
And this is in your left-hand side. Okay, zoom out. Minimize. This is medium. All right, now let's go to command prompt again. PS. exec.exe, one word.exe. So basically I'm saying, hey, okay, so I'm just opening in a...
You just loaded that low priority.
Yes, low priority. And you will see that it's low priority there.
Yep.
If I can, Marcus knows he's gonna kill me for using his tools bad, but here we go. I think you can see it. All right. Now, let me put it in the right-hand side, drag and drop. Yeah. So, now, as I said, with Raymond, we did deliver a beautiful session. Let me save this into this PC. Hey, you don't have permission to save this location. Yeah.
And this is your documents folder, which normally as a user, you would have total access to be able to do whatever you want.
Because low integrity.
Yeah.
If you remember my previous demo, if I, you know, was with low integrity, that file could not run because it was not going to have write rights to write anything in the file.
Yeah. And that's where an application, that's where Internet Explorer would normally run as well. It would normally run as a low integrity process because you don't really, that's one of the highest options for something getting into your system.
True. And in this case, now I'm going to boot users, local admin, local folder, local low. As you can see, it's by default there. I'm gonna double click there, save.
Yeah.
It's gonna save, why? Because I have the rights to save there.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me just minimize that. I want to add a picture. Picture of me and Raymond, which we took last year at TechEd. And yes, I do have the permission to display this picture. TechEd 2013, actually 2 years ago, sorry. As you can see, from medium to low, I can copy the photo.
Yep.
No problem. But now, I deleted the medium one. I'm gonna drag and drop from low to medium. I'm not allowed. Let me copy and paste. I'm not allowed. I hope you understand the importance one more time. So, one more demo here, which I want to quickly show you. Give me 1 second, please.
So the importance there really is that you could run applications that need to have less access to the system by default, but need to have access to more riskier information. You could run those as a low integrity process, and therefore they'd have access to do less damaging things potentially to your machine, even though they're still using your own user accounts. In exactly the same way as Internet Explorer does, Internet Explorer would have by default no access to your documents. It's a great thing. It stops people from stealing your information if they do something naughty inside of a script on a website. And actually, it puts you into a much safer position.
Okay, while this is connecting with the background, it's a bit slow. Let's move while this is connecting.
Okay,
as soon as it connects, we can
number 16.
Continue.
The number 16 was upgrade wherever possible. Bring yourself up to the latest level of whatever it is, whether it's the operating system or whether it's bring yourself up to date on the latest security patches, bring yourself up to date on the latest apps.
Okay. Basically, in this case, Windows 10 is going to give us the latest security. By the way, I'm connected in. If you can quickly, that's my... So what else do we have here? I think I showed you Microsoft Basin Security Analyzer, scan, the reports are there. What else? By the way, I did not update Windows computer for a reason, so I could do this demo. We have a Security Compliance Manager, SCM. Mm-hmm. Remember you said you never came across?
Yep.
It did download all the I didn't download all the updates. You can just download all the updates later. In this case, you can just go and run, create a baseline, you can import baseline, so you can download the baseline automatically. You can back up your GPO folder, as you can see here, and you can just basically see how secure you are based on the scans. What else do we have here? I want to go back here. I did talk about MBSA. There should be also attack surface analyzer. Again, I'm not gonna do full demo. We did present all about this before, but quickly. Run scan, it will go to your points, Windows Firewall, this, and quickly, you know, save the file where you can open it from your SQL and read it later as well. So, what else do I have here? This is a couple of free tools which came to my mind while we're talking. Beside that, we can use, for example, Kali Linux, or as it known in the market, Backtrack. It was really a great tool set which would help you to protect everything. But for that, you need to know how to use Kali or Linux, basically, which is also totally for free. Or, as I said, Metasploit, especially the community edition. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Or if you really want to use social media security and want to test yourself, it's called, I just forgot the name, Multigo. Mm-hmm. Okay, Multigo is also a tool which will help you to do total scan about you and see what stage you are. And you can find your Twitter, LinkedIn, any tweet, your phone number, and you will see how this transformation are connected to each other. So it is really important to implement all these. What else do we got in the slide deck?
So we've actually got to the end of all of the kind of mitigation tools. The next couple of things are just to remind you of a couple of things that are possible with Windows 10. One of the things that we're thinking about there is very carefully around how we can look at security and make security a much more important thing. And we start to see that the this Venn diagram here, where making sure that identity is as secure as it can possibly be, along with making sure that information protection automatically protects as much as we possibly can, and building in threat resistance along the way, helps to prevent as much of the modern day security threats that we actually start to see. So that kind of brings us to the end, I think. We're along to the summary. What are the things that that you think that people should actually be going out and doing right now?
Okay, make a list.
Yep.
Rule number one, make a list. What is more important for you? Comes back to the very introduction slides. What are you trying to protect? Draw a diagram. I know this sounds very old school and boring. If you have Surface, you know, OneNote is just a click away. If you have pen and paper, it's just a few calories away. Then make a list of your adversaries and what they want. So it's also important to understand what they want. Mm-hmm. And together, sit down and create a probably and potential damage list, which we call incident response. I was after that word, to be honest. Incident responses. What if you get hacked? Who are you going to call first? What are you going to do first? And try to understand with this the overall risk to the general risk as well. Always sit down, speak to your peers. It's really important. Brainstorm the countermeasures.
Yeah.
And any possible issues. It brings us to the very important, first important point as well, PDCA. Remember, plan, do, check, act. So plan, test, pilot, monitor, troubleshoot, and repeat.
Mm-hmm. Keep repeat, doing it.
Repeat. Mm-hmm. Adopt best practices. And I gave you so many tools to do that. Baseline Security Analyzer, Security Configuration Wizard. It's all based on baselines.
Yeah.
Okay. This is really a really cool tool, and I think point nine. If you quickly have a look in the slides, keep an eye on Microsoft Virtual Academy.
Yeah.
And other good resources such
Tons
as my blog,
resources.
Your blog. Yep. What was your blog, Simon? Again?
Very easy. It's SimonMay.com.
SimonMay.com.
Yeah.
And my one is very easy. Erdaloska.com. No.
Yeah.
YourMCT.com.
Yeah.
Which will make it easier. And learn about enterprise security. But to learn about enterprise security, learn first discovering yourself. Mm-hmm. Hack yourself.
Yeah.
Don't hack your peers, okay? This is illegal. Make sure you hack the environment with written permissions. It's really important. Your job title might be Chief Information Security Officer at EMT Holding, but it is not giving me the permission to scan the EMT Holding networks to read my boss's emails because I can. No. Make sure, there are different security assessments. Probably we will run one day a penetration testing MVA here. We should talk or a couple of other MVAs. But the important thing here is gain written permissions from management.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might have to create a black box penetration testing, for example, or hacking. With this, you still need written authorization. You can't just fire up Wireshark, for example, and start sniffing
the network. Yeah,
the network. It's illegal. This will put you in the jail, and we will not be responsible for that.
Yeah.
Why? Because we warned you. All what we wanted today is for you to learn the dangers, not to scare you. Yes, some of you are scared probably, but our main aim was to shake you up.
Yeah.
Hey, wake up.
Give you a wake-up call.
It's business time. Wake-up call. Be aware, because if you are aware, you can
mitigate the risk.
Yourself.
Yep.
Mitigate your risk.
Yep. Thank you very much for joining us for this MVA course. Please don't forget to fill out the survey that's attached to the course so that we can take your feedback. Erdal, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll see you next time on MVA.
On behalf of myself and Simon, thank you very much for watching. And I hope to be in the next MVA together with you again. Thank you very much.